Good morning and welcome to St. Columba's Deira Volghi. My name's James and I'm the minister here. This is a first for us today. We're actually going live this morning completely from our building in preparation for reopening our building for congregational worship next Sunday. We'll hear a little bit more about that later on in the service. So welcome as you join us today. Lots of people already in. To Pat, Joanna, Doris, Heather, Lindsay, Anne, Lynn, Derek, you're all very welcome as we come to worship today. So thank you for being a part of that. Our psalm for today is Psalm 124. It's a psalm that encourages us to lift our eyes from ourselves and towards the Lord. So let's turn to that psalm as we hear God's word read over us. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. So praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We've escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and of earth. And so today we praise the Lord that our help is in him. Our eyes are firmly fixed in him as we look to him. So let's pray as we begin. Father God, we want to thank you that indeed you are present with us today as we prepare to gather once again as a congregation in our buildings. We thank you that you'll be present with us whenever we do that. That you are present in our homes in this moment as we have scattered across this parish and further afield. So Lord, as we gather together collectively as a body of people and as a community of believers, we thank you for your presence and we thank you that we can proclaim your presence amongst us, for us and in front of us today. In your name we pray. Amen. This stage, we're going to worship. It's going to be slightly different this morning in that where Jim and Graham are going to play Be Still for the Presence of the Lord, hymn number 325. The words will come on the screen and it gives us an opportunity to be reflective. Because one of the things as we come to congregationally worship next week is that we won't be able to sing as a congregation. So we'll spend time reflecting on some of the songs that we'll be using. So let's take this moment to be still in the Lord's presence. Be still for the presence of the Lord. That's a song that really encourages us to focus on Him as we did with our psalm this morning. But actually, as we focus on Him, our perception or ideas or thinking shifts a little bit. This morning, my little object for the children's talk is a Tupperware box, a little clear Tupperware box. And often we describe boxes as places that life goes inside. We put things in a box to keep it for memories. Now, this obviously wouldn't have many memories in this box. Inside this box, put little pieces of food or whatever to keep it fresh. But often, actually, whenever we put stuff in a box, we put life inside the box. We tape it up and we put it in the attic to keep it for future, so we can go back to it, rummage through it, and it recalls those really important moments in our lives, a little keepsake box, if you like. But the thing about all of those boxes, even as a little food container like this, is normally put a lid on it, put it down securely, and whatever's inside stays inside. But as you notice today, the one that I have is see-through. And you might even be able to see my lovely face through that. Because actually, as we have heard from our psalm today, as we've heard from the song that we've just reflected on, the Lord is able to see. There's nothing that we can hide from Him. In a sense, as we come before Him, our lives are transparent, where He's able to see all of them. So as we go about our business, with our words, our actions, the things that we do, the way we interact with people, let's remember that. Let's remember that actually everything that we do is visible and open, not just to other people, but even in the quiet and silent moments, it's visible to the Lord. And so that's why it's important as we gather together in this act of worship each Sunday, that we come before the Lord in an attitude of confession, seeking His forgiveness for the things that either we know we have done or the things that we don't know we have done, but yet is seen by Him. Sometimes those things that slip us by become habits that we don't realize that we have. Lord God, we've sinned against You and we've done wrong in Your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to Your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of Your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So may the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sin, restore us in His image to the praise and the glory of His name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. At this point, we're going to move to hear our Bible reading today.
Today's reading is from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 to verse 4. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away.
Thank you to Bethany for that. Securing hope has been our theme as we've walked through this book of 1 Peter. And we finished that next week, actually. Our first week coming back into this building to worship together is the week that we finished this series on securing hope. And there's actually something quite poignant about that, something quite important about that, because over the last number of weeks, actually, over since the start of July, we have been encouraged to put a new banner over us, a banner of hope in a world of despair that says that God is in control, that He is sovereign, and that He is on our side, that He is there for us. See, in this book of 1 Peter, Peter has been speaking through lots of different topics, for us as a church and for us as individuals. And here today, Peter is urging us from a point of personal relationship with Jesus. Chapter 5 and verse 1, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering," a witness of Christ's suffering. Peter walked with Jesus. And so whenever he has been urging us to do things over these last number of weeks, it's because he walked with Jesus. He was there. He saw and knew Jesus personally. Now, the fact that Jesus has died and rose again and ascended into heaven and is alive today means that we can know Jesus personally as well, that we have a personal story to share of what Jesus is saying to us and how he is leading us in this moment. It's actually quite a strange passage to preach on, these four verses in chapter 5, because last week we said it's not about you, it's about him. And this week it seems as if it's all about me, the pastor, actually, because these four verses speak directly to those who are in leadership in a church and who are pastors of it. And so bear with me as I do this today. See, Peter, as Peter urged us from this personal point of view, the first thing that comes is that it's really vital for me as a pastor, as a leader, as the rector, as the incumbent, whatever title or phrase or role you want to place on me at the moment in this place, it's vital that I have a vibrant personal relationship with Jesus. How else can I draw alongside you? How else can I teach from God's word? How else can I listen to his spirit unless I am personally connected to him? And so the first and foremost thing for those of us here in leadership in the church is that we have a personal relationship with Jesus, and that we spend time working on that. That's a question I need to ask myself. How good am I at spending time alone with Jesus? Not alone in preparation for what happens on a Sunday or what happens at a Bible study or what happens as I go out to pastorally visit, but how good am I at actually spending time with Jesus in his word for myself and for my relationship with him? Sometimes that's up and down, I'll be honest. Sometimes it's better than others. One of the things that helps me is that I journal quite a bit, and so I write out my thoughts and my prayers, and it keeps me on track. I'm able to look back and see what I've been praying for and praying about. Sometimes I have to have that scheduled into the diary that actually says, actually, you have a meeting, because if I had a meeting happening here in these buildings, I wouldn't miss it. So actually, my time with God can't be missed either. But one of the things I would really love to encourage you to do today is to pray for me. Yes, I know, I need it. I get that. I need a lot. But seriously, pray for me. Pray for wisdom and discernment. Pray for courage. Pray for stamina. Pray for perseverance. Pray for Shirley, pray for Rebecca, pray for Hannah as a family who is involved in ministry and all the stresses and struggles that come with that. Pray for us as a family. Surround me in your prayers because I need it. See, first one, whenever Peter says he's a witness of Christ's suffering, and as one who will also share in the glory that is yet to be revealed, the goal for us is yet to come. Yes, heaven can touch earth in this moment, but the goal for us is yet to come. See, in verse 2, he urges us to be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as an overseer, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, nor lording it over those who entrust it to you, but being an example to the flock. See, Peter here in those verses 2 and 3, there's those kind of hints, reminiscences, recalling of memories of Jesus and the disciples, Jesus speaking about being the good shepherd and the sheep in John chapter 10, those moments where he's encouraging us in those analogies that Jesus gave to us. Some of those analogies are much more powerful because of the culture that they lived in rather than the culture that we live in. But nonetheless, there are lessons to be learned from them. I am to be the good shepherd of the flock, the church, the parish that has been entrusted to me. I am to feed the sheep. I am to guide you and feed you in God's word. I am to look after you. I am to care for you. I am to anoint you with oil and balm whenever you are sore or wounded. I am to draw alongside you, walk through those times with you, and pray for you. I am to keep you safe from the wolves that are around us, to call you to account, not according to my standards, but according to what I find in the scriptures, and to draw you back into God's fold. That's an awesome responsibility, and one for which I will have to give account one day. So pray for me as I seek to do that in this place. Good shepherds tend to their flocks. As Jesus said, good shepherds tend to their flocks, and the hirelings flee away. The good shepherd is coming back. That's what he says in verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade. Let's make no mistake of that. The good shepherd is coming back. Jesus will return now. There are lots of stuff out there on social media at the moment and on the internet, all about the second coming and about everything around coronavirus, ushering that in faster and faster. And actually, we should really take some time to look at that and to see what that means. I saw a little meme just the other day saying that if everybody believes everything that they see on social media or on the internet, they believe everything that they read, yet they turn away from God's word, which is predicting all of what is yet to come. Let's believe what we read in the scriptures and hold fast and true to the word of God. See, whenever Jesus comes back, he will give us his rewards. That's what it says here. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade. What are you working towards? What does your crown look like? Now, that you don't work for your salvation. Let's get that very clear. Let's not make a muddle of that today. Salvation is free. It's earned at the cross of Christ. It's earned because of his sacrifice, not because of what I can do. But whenever we receive a sacrifice, whenever we begin to know him personally, he urges us to step forward and to live our lives for him, to earn the crown and the reward that he will come back to give to us. That's a whole other teaching series. And so, as ministers, as a pastor, as a rector in this place, I am urged to do three things. I'm to feed the sheep, I'm to take oversight, and I'm to be an example. I can't tell you to do something without doing it myself. I can't tell you to live a life that is worthy of Jesus if I'm not living a life that is worthy of Jesus. And so my life is being held accountable just the way each other's of us are. So pray for me as I do that. Pray for us as a church, as we step into the unknown of what this new world looks like. Pray for us as a church, as we grow, as we expand, as we not only grow in terms of numbers, because that's actually not what it's about, but grow in depth of our love for Jesus, urging us out into your community. All of this, everything is always surrounded by the fact that we are called to be in a personal relationship with him. I heard one pastor recently who self-identified himself as a people pleaser. And this phrase was this, James, I'm going to stop seeking people's adoration. Do you think that would be okay? I'm going to stop seeking people's adoration. Do you think that would be okay? There's something missing there. We don't do it to be people pleasers. We don't live our lives for Jesus so we can please other people. We do it because we live for the audience of one. We be still in his presence. And this reward that verse 4 speaks of is not just for pastors, not just for ministers. It's for each of us. Because God's word is living and active and it speaks into all of our lives. And so it's for each one of us. This reward is for each one of us. And as Peter heralds that, harking back to Jesus' teaching and Jesus' words, I couldn't help but recall the words of Jesus in Matthew 25, 21. Speaking of the parable of the talents, where he said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Because you've been faithful with a little, you'll be entrusted with much." Let's be faithful with what the Lord has given to us. Is that a position in a company where your integrity stands against the flow of other people? Is that in a place of education where you're passing on and encouraging others to flourish? Is it in your home, amongst your family? Is that in your street, with your neighbours? Whatever it is that the Lord has entrusted you with, be faithful in it, and he will entrust you with more. So what are you working towards today? I ask myself the same question. But I also ask myself, how am I measuring up to this passage? And I ask you, will you continue to pray for me? So let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are indeed present in this place and amongst us. That you are present with us in our homes, in our streets, and in our community. And so in this moment, Lord, will you shine a light into our lives and show us what you have called us to be faithful to? Maybe we already know that, or maybe we need a prompting from your Spirit this morning, a face, an image, a word that will encourage us in the place that you've sown us and planted us. Help us to pray more earnestly for each other. And as we return to our building next week, Lord, we pray for all of the practicalities around that. But we look forward to that moment where physically we can gather again. And we thank you that you have given to us the resources to enable us to not only meet physically together, but to continue to meet online at the same time. And Lord, we really thank you for that, and we've been praying for that, that we feel as one community of believers. So we pray for those amongst us who are unwell at the moment, in need of a fresh touch of you, a sense of your peace, a sense of your purpose. Today we pray for those who are in hospital amongst us, praying especially for Eileen. For those who continue to grieve. For those who may be gripped with fear of uncertainty of what the future holds. Pray for those who received exam results this week, as we prayed for the ones who received last week. Pray you give wisdom and discernment into all of those decisions that we made around that. As our children return back to school again this week, we pray for teachers, for principals, for governors, for auxiliary staff, and for the pupils themselves. give them a sense of peace, but also a sense of excitement that all is coming back together again. As we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. At this point, we're going to sing again, or we're going to be led in a song which will be reflective again, in a sense. Hopefully the words once again come up on your screens. It's hymn number 562, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Again, echoing the things that we've been speaking of from today's reading. Thank you to Jim and Graham for letting us in those two pieces today. A few very quick things just as we draw to a close today. As we said, next Sunday we are reopening our building for worship the 30th of August at 10:30, our normal time. We hope to broadcast that live at the same time, and so if you continue to shield or you're unable to be with us, then you can hook into that online. And that means we can all come together collectively at the one time. There will be a different looking building and setup for our worship next Sunday if you physically are here. There'll be more information come out about that later this week. So please do read that information or watch that video clip to give you an idea of what it's going to be like and what you're to expect and what are required of you for that. There's also on our Facebook page and our website, there's a little request at the moment. If you can help out with some extra cleaning that needs to be done and tidying up around the building, to sign up for that. And all those details are there on our Facebook page or indeed on our website. But continue, if you need anything during the week, please do phone 0289252 8242. Sometimes that number catches me out, but I think I've got it right. Or drop us a wee line at info@derevolgi.com and we will do what we possibly can to help you. We want to finish today with the collect for today, this 11th Sunday after Trinity. O God, you declare your almighty power most chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Mercifully grant to us such a measure of your grace that we, running the way of your commandments, may receive your gracious promises and be made partakers of your heavenly treasure. And to him who is able to do abundantly, immeasurably more than all we ask, seek, or would even dare to imagine, to him be glory in the Church and in Christ Jesus. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.